Pastor James has always advised me that a good sermon will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Get ready, because today you guys are looking a little comfortable. This is a sermon that's going to afflict you, because this is one of the hardest scriptures in the book of Luke to understand. For the month of August, we are going through some of the more difficult scriptures in the Gospel of Luke. Of all of the four Gospels, Luke is the one that portrays Jesus as the most radical, the most social conscious. The book of Luke presents us with the Jesus who wants to lift up all people, to equalize society, and to bring about the kingdom of God. It is Luke who presents us with Jesus, the vulnerable radical. And this morning, we meet Jesus at the point in the scripture where he is turning his sights to Jerusalem. He has established his ministry, and now he is turning towards his journey into the holy city, knowing that that means journeying to the cross. In his metaphorical journey as well, Jesus is also set to bring about the kingdom of God. This is the backdrop for today's scripture, in which Jesus is speaking to the crowds. Let's see what this morning's Bible verses say. It is Jesus speaking here. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think I've come to bring peace to this earth? No, I tell you, rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He went on to say to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be a scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky. But why do you not know how to interpret the present time? Now, if you are sitting there thinking, I wonder what in the world Kathy is going to say about this, then you're thinking what I've been thinking for most of the week. What in the world can I say about this? What in the world does it mean when Jesus himself says he is here to bring division among us? Jesus, I think, is talking to the comfortable. But let's break down verse by verse and look a little more closely and see if we can together discern a message for the day. In the first part of the scripture, Jesus is talking about baptism, specifically a baptism with fire. This verse is talking about a specific type of fire, namely the refiner's fire. This is what Jesus means when he says he is under stress until it is completed. There are fires that consume, but there are also fires that improve, that burn away anything that is unnecessary, fires that purify and refine. This scripture is talking about the purification of a baptismal fire. Second, Jesus says that he does not come to bring peace, but rather division. It is significant that he says fire will be divided 2 against 3, and parents will be divided against their children. Commentaries on this verse say that this has significant meaning. It is as if Jesus is challenging his followers by saying, believing in my word will mean that you cling to nothing else, not even to your family. Third, Jesus calls his crowd of followers hypocrites. He chides them, saying they can read the weather and guess when a storm is brewing, but they cannot do the same for the present time. He is saying that they cannot see what's coming, that they can't envision what's going to happen in Jerusalem. They cannot interpret the culture around them through the lens of Jesus' teaching. I think that these three scriptural references illustrate the paradox in Jesus' ministry. On the one hand, Jesus preaches over and over again a message of peace, love, grace, and mercy for all people. And yet that message manages to cause conflict among disciples. If we look throughout history, we can see over and over again conflict in the name of religious differences. There are disagreements even among Christian denominations how to do baptism, who's welcome at the communion table. This is the paradox in Jesus' message. And let's look at some of the reasons why. First, Jesus is risky. There is risk involved in following Jesus' radical message. Think about it, what it means to love unconditionally and to forgive continually over and over and over. It means that we have to open up ourselves to being vulnerable. It means that we might get our hearts broken. We might seem like fools. There's a difference between the theory and the practice of unconditional love. We believe in the theory of unconditional love, but putting it into practice, that's risky. The refiner's fire, it is a risky proposition. We don't want to get burned, even if we want the purification. The second thing that makes Jesus' message paradoxical is that Jesus is countercultural. Jesus' message went against the grain of the culture at the time, and it continues to go against the grain today. Think of the way the Beatitudes turned upside down the thinking of the time. Jesus lifts up as blessed what most people thought of as cast out. Jesus was famous for taking those people on the margins and putting them right at the center of kingdom living. Think of the woman at the well, the paralyzed man, the orphans, the widows, and the lepers. He turned people's perceptions upside down, and he loves the people on the fringe. This is the essence of why there will be division among the followers, because Jesus claims the outcast as central to the ministry of kingdom living. The third reason is that Jesus is also anti-establishment. His message subverts the norm. He is the one that preaches the importance of going after the lost coin, of leaving the herd to find the lost sheep, of loving the prodigal son. Most of his ministry was done outside the walls of any church or any city. And the times when he did go into the church, he was turning over the money changers, angry at what he saw. How many times did he speak out against the Roman Empire? Most of what he said was against the idea of empire at all. And here is perhaps the scary thing to me. There are times when the church is part of the empire. There are times when the church is the establishment. And the paradox of Jesus' message gets even more muddled when the anti-establishment message could mean, in very real terms, anti-church. This is one of the reasons he was so radical in his day, because he criticized the Roman Empire, and also because he criticized the complacency of the Jewish leaders. Jesus' paradox is anti-establishment, because his message implicitly values the individual over any organization. These scriptures are important because they highlight the paradox of Jesus, the idea that the message of peace is unsettling, the idea that the concept of justice can be volatile, the idea that unconditional love can divide. Because these scriptures are not easy to understand, they cause us to pause and to reflect. I believe that they raise three very important questions for us, each of us, as Christians, and that we should struggle with these questions. First question, where do I need to take a risk in my own faith? Where do I need that baptism with fire to purify and refine my actions or my beliefs? This is important to think about because it is easy to get complacent, to fall into the trap where we live with easy answers and the path of least resistance. The path of least resistance is not part of the Jesus paradox. No, we are called into conflict in the name of peace, to stand up for the people on the margins, and to love those who others say those people are unlovable. So where do you need to take a risk? Question number two. What are the specific points in Jesus' message that cause division for you, division in your own heart? What are you willing to argue? Where are you willing to be countercultural, to go against the grain? This is important to ponder because it helps us to define what we believe in deeply. Do you know that yesterday at the golf outing, someone came up to me and said, "Kathy, I hated the sermon. Absolutely hated the sermon." And that actually happens a lot. But you know what? I love it. I love it because it forces me to define my own position. And in doing so, I learn exactly what I believe. It strengthens my own faith and my ability to express it. Each of us has a limited view of God, and sometimes those views don't overlap easily. But when we compare and contrast these views, our vision of God can expand. And so we should be willing to live in division, to say that we disagree, to be open to multiple views of God's kingdom. So feel free to call me a tree-hugging socialist. My father does it all the time. And it's in that division that sparks a conversation. And if that conversation expands your understanding of God and my understanding of God, then something good has come from being divided. Question number three, and perhaps the most important question for this particular scripture to bring up, is what are we missing? What are the cultural storm clouds that we should be able to interpret and can't? Jesus is calling us hypocrites here too, saying that we can interpret the weather, we can interpret a coming storm, but not what is going on around us. This is maybe the hardest thing to do. Interpret scripture in the context of what is happening in our society. I don't claim to do this well, but I can see where Jesus' challenge lies. I know that Jesus calls us to care for the widows and the orphans, and yet I do not know how to interpret the storm cloud around homelessness, food stamps, welfare, and other issues where widows and orphans are concerned. I know that Jesus calls us to welcome the stranger among us, and yet I do not know how to interpret the storm clouds around issues of immigration, naturalization, and drawing borders within and around communities, both physical borders and the non-physical ones as well. I know that Jesus calls us to love our neighbors by caring for the man laying on the side of the road. And yet I do not know how to interpret the storm clouds that surround a body that is actually lying on the ground in front of me. I hear both sides arguing points of legality and motive, and I think that perhaps no one is truly being a neighbor. And when I look at what is happening in Egypt right now, I confess that I am stumped. I'm stumped. I have no idea how to interpret that storm cloud. Jesus calls us to be justice seekers and to be caregivers. But in a situation that is that complicated, it is hard to even understand what justice and peace might look like. So I think question number three, this is the toughest question of the morning. How do we interpret those cultural storm clouds around us? There is no doubt that the paradox of Jesus is risky. It is countercultural and it is anti-establishment. And this morning's scriptures illustrate how extremely difficult it is to interpret these scriptures through today's tough cultural and political climates. I know that today I'm going to leave you with more questions than answers. That is perhaps the essence of the Jesus paradox. But though I will leave you with questions, I will also leave you with this, a Benedictine blessing that speaks straight to the questions found in this morning's scripture. The blessing goes like this. May God bless you with a restless discomfort about easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may seek truth boldly and love deeply from your heart. May God bless you with holy anger at injustice, oppression, and the exploitation of people, so that you may work tirelessly for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with the gift of tears to shed with those who suffer pain, rejection, starvation, and loss, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and transform their pain into joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you really can make a difference in this world, so that you are able, with God's grace, to do what others claim cannot be done. May it be so. Amen.